Our New Testament reading for today is from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. Follow along with me if you'd like, and let us listen for the word of the Lord. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of Galilee, known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. And after everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "No, gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who'd eaten from the 5 barley loaves. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet we have been expecting." When Jesus saw that they were coming to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. This is the word of the Lord. The concept of enough is a tricky one, isn't it? When do you know that you've had enough? I mean, Thanksgiving dinner, is it before or after the pie? We eat until we are stuffed, and we know it because our stomachs start to hurt, and we have a hard time waddling from the kitchen table over to the couch. But in life in general, we don't very often think about enough. When is it that we have enough to share? Raymond Burse was one of the senior executive VPs at General Electric for years. He retired, and in 2012, he became the interim president of Kentucky State University. One of his first acts as president of the university was to give 1/3 of his salary back to the university for the specific purpose of giving a pay raise to the university employees who were making minimum wage. By giving 1/3 of his salary back, he ended up giving a 50% pay raise to everybody who was making minimum wage. Pretty amazing, right? He said, "I've got enough. We at Kentucky State University are a team, and what we do here is just as dependent on the people who are scrubbing the bathrooms and cleaning the floors and washing the windows as it is on me and my job. And we're in this together. I've got enough." Kind of an amazing act, right? The kind of teamwork that creates, the kind of togetherness, the recognition that we all do belong to one another and we're all in this together. These two Bible stories are some profound ones. That text that Martha read from 2 Kings, the background story to that is that they are in the midst of a famine. There is not enough food to go around. And so when somebody comes and gives this food as a tithe offering to Elisha, and Elisha's first response is to do what? Give it away. Elisha gets given this food, and his servant is probably a little uncomfortable with this, right? "Hey, boss, I don't know if you've noticed, but we just got enough food to survive, and if we pass this out, I don't think we'll have enough. Not only that, but there's 100 people here, and you want me to put a few loaves out. There's no way wouldn't it be better for us to keep this and not just give everybody 3 bites?" And Elisha says, "This is the word of the Lord. There's going to be more than enough. Spread it. Give it. Put it out there." And of course, it's miraculously more than enough. Everybody eats all that they want. It's kind of a precursor to the story in John, right? This is one of my favorite Bible stories. I love it because in some ways it's just preposterous. It's funny. There's all of these people who follow Jesus out into the middle of the wilderness. And this is a time long before McDonald's, Taco Bell, and Subway. They can't just stop in and grab a bite, right? And there's no stores even if they had money. And this is kind of a set. There's so many things to learn in this story. I love what this says about God, right? I mean, Jesus is out there and he's teaching people, but Jesus obviously deeply cares about us as human beings, as physical creatures, not just as spiritual creatures. That Jesus notices when we're hungry, that he cares. And Jesus, obviously in this story, Jesus could have done all of this himself, right? But Jesus himself is the one who's like, hey, Philip, I think we should feed these people. How do you think we should do it? And Philip is, of course, thinking the way we usually think. No way, Jesus. There is clearly not enough of anything out here. I don't know if you've noticed, Jesus, but we're in the wilderness. There is not a McDonald's around the corner. And even if there was, I checked with Judas, we don't have enough money in the purse anyhow. Philip, now, do you think God ever asks you to do something that you might not think is possible? There's a chance here, right? We've got a pretty clear story of God asking Philip to step out in faith, to be willing to be generous in a time and a place where it doesn't seem like that generosity is going to make a difference. It doesn't seem like that's going to matter. I like Andrew's. Andrew seems to have a little bit of a different take. Instead of just writing it all off, he's like, well, there is a boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, I love considering this story from the perspective of that little boy. Of all the people, you are the one who thought ahead, right? Like everybody else might have just trotted out here and not thought about the fact that you might want some food later. But he did. He has a lunch. Good thinking. It's not his fault that nobody else decided to plan ahead. You've probably seen that, like a failure to prepare on your part does not constitute an emergency on mine. I'm so sorry you all did not bring a lunch, but this one's delicious. Have a nice day. That's kind of how we end up. I mean, and clearly, even if I were to share, you would all get half a bite because there's 15,000 of you or whatever it is. Like, what on earth is 5 loaves and 2 fish going to do for this many people? I actually think it is an incredible act of courage on this young boy's part to be willing to share. Because he had a lunch, and this sure looks like on the front end, him going from having a lunch to him going to him not having a lunch at all. He prepared, and he, in return for this, he's getting nothing. He's kind of giving it away. He might get a bite. Some pretty profound trust, being willing to share what you do have with Jesus, with the people around you. But Jesus tells everybody to sit down. And I love this. I don't think we can miss this. What does Jesus do? Before he breaks the bread, he gives thanks. Jesus lives in a place of gratitude to God. I think this is something so important for all of us because it is so easy to come from places of want and pessimism and skepticism and negativity. It's so easy to look at what we don't have instead of what we do have. But Jesus comes in with gratitude. He takes the loaves and the fishes and he gives thanks to God. And of course, once he does this, he starts breaking them out and passing them out, and there is more than enough for everyone. And I think it is no coincidence. How many baskets did they pick up? 12? How many disciples did Jesus ask to feed everyone? 12? Jesus is definitely trying to show his followers something here, I think. 12 is the kingdom number. That when we share what we have, it ends up being more than enough. The 12 disciples leave this place with 12 baskets to continue giving generously to the people around them, right? We look at our lives and we're often so tempted to see that what we have is not adequate for the task at hand. This isn't just about money. This is about our time, our energy, our intelligence, whatever resources, our skills. We look at ourselves and we look at the need in the world or our families or our town and think, even if I gave what I had, even if I put my time or talent or treasure on the line, there is no way it's going to touch the scope of these problems we face. But that's not taking into account who we're working for. We have a master, a Lord, a Savior, who can take what we have to offer and turn it into more than enough. What Jesus is after here is getting us to completely shift the way we look at ourselves, our resources, our time. To, with Jesus, give incredible thanks to God, trusting that whatever we have is going to be more than enough. Whatever time we have, whatever money we have, whatever skills we have, if we are willing to share those and contribute those generously to the people around us, God can do incredible, miraculous things. When we share, there's stuff left over. Everybody gets what they need. This is such a beautiful and profound invitation. This is a banquet and a feast which God spreads and everyone is invited into, and we are all invited to give of whatever meager loaves and fish we might have. I love the Buddhist story of the monk who goes into a town, and it's a town where the villagers aren't very generous or they don't have very much hospitality. And so he asks for a meal, but nobody is willing to share. So instead, the monk takes his iron pot and builds a fire in the center of town, and takes a stone and puts it in the water. And as it starts to warm up, the curious villagers come to look and say, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm making stone soup. It's delicious. I'd be happy to share, but we're still missing a few things. What do you have to contribute?" And a villager comes back with some carrots and says, "Well, I have some extra carrots." And another villager comes and says, "What are you guys doing?" And the monk says, "I make the best stone soup you have ever tasted. But it's missing some salt. Do you have any?" "Sure." The villager goes back, gets some salt, and comes back. By now, they're starting to attract a crowd. And each new villager that shows up, the monk says, "We're still missing a few things to make it perfect, but this is the most delicious stone soup you have ever had in your life." And they go back and get potatoes and turnips and spices. And pretty soon, the smell coming from the center of town is enough to call anybody in the town who wasn't there. And each person comes and contributes some small thing. And soon, there is the best soup any of them have ever tasted. And the monk takes out his stone and serves them all. This is the shape and the story of this universe, this world, who we are. We are all called to come and contribute the small things that we have to offer, because we believe that in Jesus those things become more than enough. That as we give of what we have, we in turn are blessed beyond anything we could possibly imagine, and we'll end up like the disciples, leaving with basketfuls of food left over. May that inspire you this week. May you feel God calling you to contribute in some small way that which you have to give to the people around you. Amen. Let's stand and sing hymn number 667, "God Hath Spoken by the Prophets."